you got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Welcome to the Degenerate Podcast. I accidentally was turning down my mic rather than the music. Maybe that was the right decision. Welcome to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Spike Eskin with Delco's leading handicapper, as far as I'm concerned, Fantasource. Sir, I have some bad news for you.
Yes, tell me.
I was waking up this morning, and this is what I heard at my front door. I heard this. Right? So I'm thinking, wow, it's 5 in the morning. I go to the front door. There's a fella in a black leather jacket. He's got a baseball bat. And he tells me that I owe him money from my third straight three-team teaser loss. And then he's going to break my knees unless I pay him right that second. What do I do? How do I handle this?
I think the only way to say it is, you know, we've said multiple times every week,
this is for
amusement purpose only, and you're out there, you're breaking the number one rule of the podcast. It's not illegal activity in Philadelphia. This is a Vegas legal in Vegas, unless he flew in from Nevada.
No. Yeah, absolutely. So another tough one last week. Well, yeah. You know, and I will say, let me just put this out there, that I have put you in a situation in which I'm making you, we've said from the beginning, or at least I've said, the tease is mostly a sucker bet anyway, and is not something that you know, you want to do every week. I think this is an exercise in fun, and it's interesting, and I think you come up with interesting stuff. And over a long enough timeline, I think you'll do just fine. So anyone who is gambling on the three-team tease every week, you shouldn't be doing a three-team tease every week. So,
well, you know, just to go back on last week, so a couple of quick questions for you. So how many NFL games were played last Sunday?
There were four buys, right? Is that how many buys there were? So there were four.
There was four.
There were four buys. So there were 15 games.
There were 15 games.
Okay.
How many of those games do you think went over the total when you factor in the teaser spread?
When you factor in the teaser spread, like negatively.
Yeah, negatively.
Oh, geez. Of the 15 games, you would have to imagine 12.
14.
But ours.
Which one did we have?
And it was the one that seemed to make the most sense. That was the thing.
You.
We had Eagles Washington, right? That's the one we had. We were 1 point short. Is that what we were?
We needed a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah, we needed points on that last drive. And
right.
The field goal wasn't happening, so we needed a touchdown, and it never happened.
And you're in that not rare position, a position that I imagine a lot of people are in sometimes, where you, as an Eagles fan, you don't want Washington to score, but you know that you have the over, and the only way you're getting the over is if Washington scores a touchdown on that last drive.
Yeah. The ideal spot for me would have been 6 points and then miss the 2-point conversion.
Right.
And Washington loses by two. We hit our over. All's good in the world. But
wow, 14 of the 15 hit the over. That is unbelievable. And it really just points to, it doesn't mean, you know, a lot of the more smart general managers there are in the league, the more you realize that you have to be that the wrong thing to do is to judge your process based on the results. And you know, you can always come back to, I always come back to blackjack. I think blackjack is the best example. It's the one Sam Hinkie used once, and it's always the best example, that if the dealer is showing a 6 and you have, you know, a 19 and you lose the hand, it doesn't mean that you should have hit. You know, you don't hit, you let it go, and sometimes, you know, maybe the dealer's got 16, the dealer draws a card, he's got 5, and you lose. And sometimes you make the right call, and you just lose, you know? And I think that the fact that it was the one game that didn't go over doesn't mean that it was the wrong choice. It just means it shows how unlucky sometimes you are and it shows how hard that a three-team tease is, because, you know, you're basically giving yourself, any bet you make on the three-team tease, if you give yourself 10 points, any bet, I imagine, any bet becomes at least a decent bet. Any one of the three becomes a decent bet. the fact is that you have to pull off three of them, and that's what makes it so hard. That's what makes it so enticing, you know? Like, you can take – and there are two games, I think, this week where you can take a 9 or a 10-point favorite and basically just make them a pick 'em. And when you see those, you're like, well, this is easy, you know? And it just shows how uneasy it is sometimes.
Yeah, it's you know, like you said, it's the process. And if you stick to something you have – you know, you find some kind of edge which will win you – you know, 58% of the time, you do take those losses in stride, and then you just figure in the long run, you're going to make a profit. And blackjack's a great example. I mean, you have to have bankroll management, and you don't want to bet too much or too little. You know, there's a lot of strategies around how to bet blackjack with card counting and things like that. But
yep.
If you have an edge and you know it's a winner, you just have to stick with it. And sometimes losses will come, and you just have to roll with it and think long term. So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's the, yeah, and it applies in any sort of thing where the outcome is not certain, whether it is building a team, whether it's playing cards, whether it's gambling on football, whatever it is, if the outcome isn't certain, if there is no process in which there is a guaranteed, you know, positive outcome, then you can't always, or most of the time, you have to put more work into the process and the you know, and the percentages of that process. You know, what is your best chance of succeeding, not what is, you know, what is the guaranteed way of succeeding, or just because, you know, I got struck with a 2 of 10 times that it doesn't succeed doesn't mean that you have to change your course. And when you do that, that's when you begin to fail. Just to go into a regular football thing, I think that's sort of what happened with Andy Reid. Andy Reid believed in his way of doing things, in his process, and it was successful for a long time. And then the last 2 years, you start to see all these decisions that didn't look very Andy Reid-like and everything, because he wasn't succeeding, I think. And he wasn't succeeding to the level that he wanted. You know, he didn't believe – at one point he believed, look, if we beat the teams we should beat and get ourselves into the playoffs – and we're in the playoffs enough, one of these times we're going to come up with a Super Bowl, you know? And it didn't work after 10 years, so he's like, well, I got to try something else. Let's sign everybody. And you saw what happened, you know? He stopped trusting in his process, and I think it fell apart. So,
yeah.
So we promised before we get to the three-team tees, and we're a week late on this, and we were reminded on Twitter that we're a week late on this, is that ever since I've known you, and I've known you for 2 years now, or we're going back more than 2 years maybe now, because I think I've only met you in person twice or once. Was it twice, maybe?
I think it's two times, yeah.
Two times that I knew you through Twitter, and I knew you, you know, as I became unemployed, and you started writing, you know, the degenerate for SpikeEskin.com. But the entire time, you've had the same avatar. And could you please explain? You maybe have explained it to me in passing, but many have asked, I have asked. So could you please give us the backstory on the Fantasource avatar?
Sure. So Fantasource was a website that I bought the domain back in 2000 or 99 or something. And I had these grand plans of putting together a gambling, fantasy football, you know, type of site, like a blog or whatever. So that never happened, obviously, but I have the domain name still. And then Twitter comes along, and in 2009, I signed up for Twitter under Fantasource. And I had an account under my real name at the same time, and my idea was, well, I'll use my real name account to just do Twitter, and then I'll do the Fantasource for just the gambling and other stuff like that.
Right.
And it just became a hassle to manage two accounts, so I dumped my personal account. I still have it. I don't use it. And then I went on to the Fantasource account. So I've been doing tweeting under Fantasource exclusively for about 3 years. And in the beginning, I wanted to just make sure I had the right, what I wanted to do with it.
The right tone, the right message.
And my idea was, okay, I'm going to put some gambling stuff out here. I'm going to put out some picks maybe, and I'll talk sports and fantasy football. But I also don't want to be one of those blowhard touts that are like, oh, I win 80% of my games and come here for the college basketball lock of the week. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And, you know, seeing them on Twitter, they're a funny little subculture if you follow them. They're really kind of sad at sometimes that they flaunt their picks and kind of throw it in your face. And, so I said, I'm going to do something different. So, you know, I was a big fan of the Brady Bunch growing up. I think you and I are around the same age. So, every day after school. You know, Brady Bunch was on. I think I've seen every one of them five times or whatever. So there's a character on the Brady Bunch named Oliver. He's the cousin of the Brady kids. Whenever he comes to visit, he causes a disaster. Like everything he does just ends up in a mess. So I figure that's kind of funny. Like, I don't want to be the tout that has a flaming bag of money as my avatar, or you know, some kind of big dollar sign. I'm like, I'm going to be Oliver because maybe all my pictures end up in flames. Which, you know, if you follow the teaser this year, maybe you're agreeing with that. So it's interesting. At one point, I was tweeting out maybe 2 years ago. And I got a reply from Captain Jenks from the Stern Show.
Yeah.
So he replies back and he says, "Hey, great pick. Robbie is the real Oliver." And I'm like, "Okay, well." And he puts Robbie Rist, who's the Oliver character, the actor, in the tweet. Like, he does one of those things that you said before. Like, you reply back and you put the guy's Twitter account, so he sees it.
Yeah.
Like, under, I'm like, okay, whatever. So I felt bad. So I asked Robbie specifically, "Hey man, is it cool if I use your picture? I don't want to use it if you don't like, if you don't want me to." I don't know how he feels about it. So, he replied back and he gave me the thumbs up and said, "Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead and use it." So I was like, and he followed me. So I'm like, "All right, nice." So now I got the approval of the guy whose picture it actually is.
Wow.
To do this. And, now, he's following me on Twitter. And then now Robbie has gone on and he's a character in a kid's cartoon show. Disney.
Oh, really?
My kids watch. Yeah, so I'm like, "Oh, I know the guy that's the voice of the dragon."
I have to admit,
I've never met the guy.
I have to admit, I was sort of bummed when I met you and you weren't a little kid with glasses and a blonde bowl cut.
And, I left it. I didn't change it. I started off with a couple different ones, but I've had the same picture maybe for 3 years since the beginning. Maybe the first couple months I changed it up, but I've been locked in on that. And I like it because I think when people see that picture in their stream, they just kind of know it's me, immediately say, "Oh, I know that picture." You see a guy, I can look at Twitter now and pick out a lot of people's accounts just by their profile pic.
So, yeah.
I liked it. It fit well. It looks good in a small size and stuff. So yeah, the genesis behind that is, okay, a gambling site that, doesn't take itself too seriously and is probably just a mess waiting to happen.
Well, just being self-effacing. Everybody loves that. That works
well.
Well,
that's the best part of Twitter is when you can just go on there and just roll with the punches, I don't really tweet anything about anything controversial, no politics or nothing like that. That's pretty much gambling and just nonsense,
Today on The Degenerate, we handle abortion and we talk Obamacare.
Today, gun control in the second half of in the hour.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it's at. And that's, I doubt I'll change it unless something happens drastically. But I like the picture, and I think it's now my everywhere that Phantasaurus shows up on the internet, whether it's comment section somewhere, anywhere I can put a profile pic, I use that. So he pops up here and there. So
yeah.
It's me.
I'm campaigning. You said, you never know, if something drastic happens. I it would have to be pretty drastic for you to change the avatar at this point without me really, really, really having a problem with it. Like, I would have a serious problem with it if you changed it at this point. So I know you always think about what my opinion of your avatar is, but if you're considering changing it, please consider my opinion.
Yeah, would you send me a monthly progress report on my life?
Yeah,
right. Right up how you feel my avatar's doing.
All right, so the three team tees were 3-4 for the season so far, if my math is correct.
Unfortunately, your math is correct.
Well, that's not that bad. It's recoverable. I think one thing that makes it more difficult at this point, I think, is that once the teams start to, I would imagine that it's easier to take advantage of wrong lines, the first half of the season, the second half of the season. Second half of the season is, I feel like the lines are a little more on point, and then the other thing on top of it is that the way the NFL is, man, when none of the teams are good, when there's so much parity, it's really hard to call these games every week. It's just really hard, I think. There's so few teams that we really know anything about, which is why I think a lot of times you ride like the anti-Jaguar or pro Seahawks thing, because at least those two teams you feel like, but everybody else, it's really tough.
Yeah, it's we're at the point of the season where a lot of things are factoring in. You know, you have playoff positioning, you have injuries to key players, you have, you know, coaches that are on the hot seat. So some teams have, maybe they're in the process of giving up where they're just not really locked into playing as hard, and some teams are just going all out because they know they, you know, they have to make a last-ditch effort for the playoffs. And by this point, we figured out who's good and who's bad. Like, week one, we're like, oh, the Texans are going to be okay.
Yeah.
But they turned out to be a mess. So, I mean, that if you jumped on those lines early in the year and you kind of saw that the Texans weren't really doing what they should be doing, you could have got good value on those lines. And even the Jaguars, earlier in the year, the lines on the Jaguars were not that large, but, you know, they quickly went up to double digits every week. So,
right.
Early games, betting against the Jaguars was an okay proposition as well.
So,
but yeah, every team has a different motivation at this point in the season.
So we'll do two things. We'll give Fantasaur's three-team teaser, and as usual, I will guess he'll give me the trend, and I'll guess the game. And how do you want to do it? Do you want to give your three-teamer, and then I'll give my three-teamer? And my three-teamer, by the way, has nothing to do with trends. As you know, if you've listened to the podcast, what happens is Fantasaurus will give his three, ask me what I think, and I've usually thrown in a what about this game, what about this game. So and it's just from eyeballing it, you know, just from watching the NFL and eyeballing it like a schmuck. So I'll give my three. Do you want to give your three-teamer, and then I'll give my three-teamer?
Yeah, sure. That way I'll go through all mine. You may agree with one or two or all these. I don't know. But, yeah, that'll be cool. At the end, you can kind of say, oh, at first glance, here's who I would go with.
Yeah, my schmuck picks. And my schmuck picks have been okay so far, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because teasers, these 10-point teasers, I mean, you're hitting probably 70 or 80% on both sides of the bet. So,
right.
You know, when you're skewing at 10 points to the favorite's favor or 10 points to the underdog's favor, there's a big middle in there where both teams can win. And a lot of weeks, both teams do cover on the spread on both ends of it. So,
right.
So we'll do mine. I have one game with some stats to give you, and the other two are a little, I couldn't dig anything up that would be a riddle. It was more just giving it away by the stats that I found. So,
okay.
We'll do game one, and then we'll move on to the next two.
Okay. So, all right. So here we go. Game one.
Okay. So game one, we're going to do a comparison of team defenses here.
Okay.
So we have team A, who is giving up 18 points per game, which is fourth in the NFL.
Okay.
And team B is giving up an average of 31 points per game, 30th in the NFL. And if we look at this one other angle, the favorite in this game has a margin of victory of 12 points when they are the favorite. So as a favorite, they're winning by 12 points a game. The underdog, when they're an underdog in the game, are losing by a average score of 11. So we have a good defense and what you would think is a good offense with margin of victory. Then we have a bad defense and another what you would think is a bad offense or a bad team with the negative margin of victory, that margin of a loss, I guess.
Huh. Well, it's one of two games, I think. Is this game... Is this game Chiefs-Chargers?
It is not Chiefs-Chargers.
Is it Lions-Bucks?
It is not Lions-Bucks.
Wow, okay, then what is it?
This game is 49ers-Redskins.
Oh, well, that is... You have one of my three games. There we go. And this is, you know, I looked and I saw, I think like almost 80% of the money so far is on the Niners with the line itself, with the straight line, -6. I saw on Deadspin, I thought, yesterday. I mean, this is one of those things where you mentioned, I think it was either the last week or 2 weeks ago in, you know, the smart money or the sharps are. And it used to be where if the public was all over a game, it meant that it was sort of a warning sign. This one, like, I don't think this is a warning sign at all. I think the public being all over the Niners means that, you know, the Redskins are terrible. I can't imagine the Niners losing this game, even losing this game.
Yeah. Yeah. The line actually opened on Monday at 4.5. So San Francisco -4.5. And it's gone up to, it's now -6 as of this morning. So the money came in on the 49ers and has pushed that line up. I don't see how the Redskins can organize themselves and beat a team, the 49ers, that are really in a must-win spot. I mean, you say must-win a lot in the NFL, but they've lost two in a row. They're falling way behind on against versus Seattle in terms of the NFC West standings. So they're really in wild card positioning now, and they need to win.
Right.
They're 7-3, so they can't afford to lose. The only angle that people seem to go back on is, you know, home dogs on Monday night. That's a famous trend that people go back on. And over time, it hasn't really been more than 50%, but this year, or the last 2 years, I think, it's been 9-3 against the spread. So, you know, if you look at it that way in terms of the six-point line, maybe that's a way to say the Redskins could do it. But I just don't see it happening.
Well, and I'll tell you this. When I look at their – here's who the 49ers are. The 49ers, you know, their last two losses to Carolina and New Orleans, both really good teams. The 49ers are one of those teams that is not an elite team. They're a good team. And what a good team does is they beat the teams that they should beat. And most of the time, they lose to the teams that they shouldn't lose to. And when you look at their five-game winning streak in the middle of the year, they beat St. Louis handily, they beat Houston handily, they beat Arizona handily, they beat Tennessee handily, and they beat Jacksonville handily. So what that tells me is that they are going to go – Washington is a team that they should beat, that they're going to beat it, go in and beat Washington. And with the 10-point teaser swing, you're going to get four. So, I can't imagine a scenario in which they lose it, but to get 4 points on top of it, and again, that's just dumb, you know, dumb luck. Like, that's just me sort of eyeballing it. But that was my third game in the teaser, so we're the same on that one.
Yeah, I misspoke on that. They're 6-4.
You said 7-3.
Yeah, they're 7-3 against the spread. They're 6-4 straight up, and they're 6-2 as a favorite. And one stat that kind of stuck out at me was, you know, Harbaugh as a coach, he's been the coach for, this is his third season, after back-to-back losses, which is this week, they've lost two in a row, he's 7-1-1 against the spread, the normal spread, and he's 9-0 when you factor in the 10-point teaser swing with a margin of victory of 15 points. So back-to-back losses, and I think you're right, this is a game where, you know, they had a tough game against Carolina, tough game against the Saints, which are both very good teams. And now they're going to play a Redskins team that's, you know, I don't know. The more a team says we're not in disarray, kind of makes me think they're in a little bit of disarray.
Yeah.
When someone has to say, no, we're all cool, it's cool, they're really not. I think, you know, they're questioning RG3. RG3's questioning the coaches. The Eagles knew their plays. I don't know, what was his angle last week? The Eagles knew the plays before they were.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. Yeah, so
he's calling out Kyle Shanahan, and I don't know. It seems like a week where the Niners can get themselves back on track.
And it's a good coach versus a bad coach. Jim Harbaugh is when you want to talk about a team, and that points to that after having lost two in a row, you know, when he needs to win a game against an inferior team, he's going to win that game. You know, I don't think there's any way the Washington Redskins win this game. So we agree on that one. Are we able to do match game? Are you able to frame it in a way for me to guess the other two games? Or no?
We can. They're really game specific, the trends that I found.
Okay.
But I'll give you one. Well, the one, it's a little tight. It's a little generic. The one team that I like in game two is 9-1 against the spread using the 10-point teaser swing. That's not really going to give you anything. I think
No. All right. So, we don't have to match game me this one. So what's game two?
So game two, I looked at Lions and the Bucks, and I took the
That's
Lions.
My other game.
Okay.
That's
took the Lions
so
down.
We're 2-2, right?
Yeah, right now they're laying 9. So I'd be getting 1 point. So I go Lions plus 1 at home against Tampa.
Yeah, I'm with you. Especially, I don't think the Lions are particularly good, and I know Tampa has played better, much better the last couple of weeks, but the thing about it is that, you know, the dome team at home thing, the dome team at home against what is an actual bad team, not as bad as Jacksonville or Atlanta, but still a bad team, I think this is at least you're bringing it down to where it's basically just a pick 'em. I think Detroit's a solid play here.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Bucs, you know, they were on the bye week in week six, maybe week five. So from week six on, they've given up an average of 28 points per game. 31 against the Eagles, that started it all, 31, 31, 27, 19. They gave up 28 last week. They won 41-28. but they gave up 28 points. So I think, you know, they had that division game at home against the Falcons, which they won. That was one. That was, you know, their a big game for them. And now they're traveling to Detroit to play the Lions, who, you know, the Lions are fighting for first place in the NFC North. So, you know, they're tied for first with Chicago, and the Packers are 5-5. So they need to keep winning to, you know, to stay pace with these guys. And, you know, the line move has been in our direction. It opened at 9.5, and it dropped down to 8.5, and now it's back up to 9. So the money's coming in on Tampa, which helps us because it gives us an extra half point on our favor. But looking at a trend of home favorites that are 7 points or more that are coming home off of a loss when they were road favorites, which the Lions were road favorites at Pittsburgh last week, they're 19-3 against the spread, the teaser spread, with a margin of victory of 11 points since 2011. So they have a team that was a road favorite, which means they're pretty good. You know, when you're a road favorite, you're a pretty decent team. They're coming back home to be a favorite of a touchdown or more. I just think this is a spot where they know that they need a win. They have the better players. They have the better offense. I think they have the better defense. I mean, Tampa came in with this beginning of the season, like, oh, Tampa's defense is pretty good. They're giving up points. They're giving up yardage. So I don't know. I mean, the only thing I'm concerned about, the Lions have that Thursday Thanksgiving game next week. So does that factor in? I mean, there's some trends.
Yeah, that could be look-aheady, you know. It could be a little trappy for Detroit.
Yeah, they play Green Bay, so that's a little bit of a trap. But and some... Some ATS against the spread trends that aren't in our favor there is in the last 12 games, the week prior to Thanksgiving, they're 2-10 against the spread and 3-9 straight up. But I mean, you got to remember in that 12-year span, they were a terrible team for probably 8 of those years. So, you know, there was a stretch where they were just the worst team in football. So I don't know if I would put any muster behind that spread trend. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at the Bucs. They claim that they're back. You know, Chiano made a prediction that once we start winning, we're not going to stop. So I don't know. Maybe Chiano knows a little more than we do. But it's Mike Glennon.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I'm under the third string running back.
Dude, I'm going to guess Greg Schiano doesn't know more than us about anything, even football. So no, I'm not with you on that one. No.
Yeah. So that's the game. So the second game will be Detroit +1 at home against the Buccaneers.
All right, game three.
All right, so game three, one of the trends I saw is we have both teams in this game are averaging total scores of 50 points or more since week 8.
Wow.
And the giveaway stat on this is it's backup quarterback versus backup quarterback.
All right, so let me just eyeball this. So this is 50 points a game. Not... Oh no, I don't know. I don't know which game is this, because there's a lot of backup versus backup as far as I can see. So there's Bears Rams, that's backup. There's Packers Vikings, is that backup? I don't even know if that is. I don't know who's starting for the Vikings anymore. Oh no, it's Ponder, so it's not.
Yeah, it's a tough call. He was the starter, then he was a backup.
Yeah, so which one is it then?
Well, on one end of the scale, you have Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right.
And on the opposite end of the scale, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick against Matt McGloin.
Oh, good grief.
We're looking at the enthusiasm rating, we probably have a 0. Titans-Raiders.
Wow, yeah, that's different than my third game. I kept looking at that game and making pretend it didn't exist.
Well, I looked at the over-under, and it's 41. So I think I'm going to drop that down to 31, or it's 41.5. I'm going to drop it to 31.5, and I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing that is, you know, since both of these teams have been on the bye, they were on the bye in week 8. So in the past couple of games after the bye, the Raiders have given up 51 points per game combined, and the Titans have given up 54 points per game combined, right? And then if we look at the Raiders, they've only surrendered less than 17 points once the entire season. That was 9 points week 2 against the Jaguars. So
Do you remember at one point we were convincing ourselves as the Eagles were going into that game that the Raiders had a pretty good defense? Do you remember that? Do you remember that whole thing?
I remember.
Yeah.
I do remember. We kind of thought, you know, and back with Pryor, it's like, oh, well, they got a little spark on the offense, and now Pryor's hurt. But McGloin played okay last week, and, you know, he's got a little bit of confidence. He's in his second game. He's at home. I'm only asking him to score two touchdowns, you know, and a field goal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm asking for 31 points total. And when we look at the NFL, there's been 162 games played through week 11, right? Only 23 of those games has had a combined score of less than 32. Of course, last night's game went under, it was 30 points total.
Right.
But we're looking at, you know, 86% of the games get over 32 points in a week. So, you know, since week 7 of this year, a couple stats, when the total is 42 points or less, the over is 23-0 in the teaser spread.
Wow.
So, yeah, and the average score of all NFL games this season is 46 points per game. So, I mean, I look at it as, you know, I just see a low number of points, two teams that really don't have a lot going for them, two backup quarterbacks. I just think there's going to be points scored here. Their defenses really aren't that great. This will be a completely under-the-radar type of game. I don't know, unless you have fantasy players or you live in Oakland or Tennessee, you're really not going to care too much.
But, or you hate yourself.
Or you bet yeah, in the teaser, then you'll be checking the scores every 5 minutes.
Yeah. In which case, also, you still might hate yourself. That does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the hangover. It's like the day after Thanksgiving hangover. Like, why did I do this to myself? So, you know, a general stat of the whole season, if you drop the spread 10 points or the over-under, you drop it 10 points and take the over, that's hitting at 87%. So I like this as a, you know, no one's really going to bet this game. It's not going to get a lot of action. But, you know, I like the over, Titans, Raiders, over 31.5. Matt McGloin and Ryan Fitzpatrick will bring us to the promised land, hopefully.
Holy cow. So to recap, you've got the 49ers with the teaser, you'll get plus 4. You have the Lions with the teaser, you'll be plus 1. And the over-under for Oakland, Tennessee with the teaser, you'll be over 31 or 31.5?
31.5.
Well, I'm never good. You can, as long as I'm doing my eyeball at ones, it's going to be rare that I ever pick the totals because I'm always bad at totals. So I usually don't even glance at them. So two of my games are exactly the same. I had the 49ers and I had the Lions. The other game I had was the Cowboys over the Giants. Okay. Cowboys are getting 1.5 at the Giants. So with the teaser, they'll be getting 11.5. I got to be honest with you. The fact that the Cowboys are getting 1.5 at the Giants, I think, is obscene, that they're getting points from the Giants. I know the Giants have won 4 in a row, and I've joked many times over the last month or month and a half even that the Giants are going to win the NFC East and ruin everything for all of us. But the Giants, even in their 4-game win streak, have not played well. They've played bad teams. They've played backup quarterbacks every week. And they've still got a bad defense. The defense is better than it was. And Eli Manning is still a turnover machine. He still is. So he's, you know, he had a good game in week 1 against Dallas. He threw for 450 yards and 4 touchdowns, but he also threw 3 interceptions. The Cowboys need the, like, I really think that if this was a non-narrative line, you know, if there was no history of the Giants, nothing, the Cowboys
should.
Yes, if this was Titans Raiders, if you went into this game and just looked at it and said, what should this line be? The Cowboys should be a 2-point favorite on the road or a 3-point favorite. I'm not buying this one. So the Cowboys getting 11.5 at the Giants, I am all for. You'd have to basically be betting that the Cowboys season is in the midst of totally falling apart. And I just don't believe that that's true.
You know, it's funny to say because it might be true, and they are tied for first place, or, you know, technically at the top of the division with the Eagles, and it's like, you look at the team, like, how are they going to mess this up? Because, I don't know, it seems like, you know, after that Saints game, it was like, all right, these guys are really not on the same page. And when Romo gets going in December, you know, things happen in the negative way, I think, for the Cowboys. But, yeah, the Giants are there. They're just lurking, and this is a classic Giants move, you know? They just sneak up on everybody, they'll get in the playoffs, and then something happens. But that offense just isn't getting it done this year, and they've had injuries in the backfield, and Manning's completely, like you said, turnover machine this year. So yeah, I think getting 11.5 in a division game like that, is this the night game? Oh no, the night game's the Patriots. This is a 4:30
right
late game for the Giants. So yeah, I think you're right. I think the Cowboys getting 11.5. They may not win, but I think they'll keep it close enough. To make that worthwhile.
Yeah, and I think they'll win. And I'm waiting I'm having some internet problems here. I wanted to get Tony Romo's monthly splits because I do think that he gets a little. And I think sometimes I come across as a Tony Romo defender or backer because I think he gets a little too much heat in general. So Tony Romo's record overall in December is 13-17, but his record also in October is 15-18. So November is 24-6, but his quarterback rating in December is 90. He's thrown 41 touchdowns and 24 interceptions, completed 62% of his passes. So, I know there are moments. We tend to remember moments like missed holds on field goals and so on and so forth. But
yeah,
he's still capable of shredding a bad defense, And that's my only. And by the way, it's funny. His quarterback rating in January is actually 106.5. So he's one and two. And I guess they're all playoff games there. But he's been all right.
The Giants' defense is bad, so
yeah,
they could be scored upon. And the points could come in that game. The over-under in that is 45, which I thought might be a little bit low, considering the amount of points that the Cowboys have been surrendering this year. But yeah, I don't know. It's the Giants have played well, so, and it's at home. But getting 11 in a division game like that, I think is a good option.
So to recap once again, your three-team tease is the Niners +4, the Lions +1. And over 31.5 with Oakland and Tennessee. And mine is 49ers the same, Lions the same, and the Cowboys getting 11.5 on the road against the Giants. So remember, again, this is for amusement and informational purposes only. But everybody wants to win. So I'm hoping that you get back to the 500 mark this week and we build upon that.
We are all for that, yes. Hopefully we'll get some luck in our favor. We've had a tough stretch for 3 weeks. But yeah, I like the picks this week. I'll give them, if we're going to give them a grade.
Bizarres. How many? 1 to 5 bizarres.
1 to 5 bizarres. This week I'm going to go at 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, my concern is maybe the Lions game. That's something that maybe, I don't know, like we talk about the look ahead to Thanksgiving game and a home game against a non-division team, but they're laying almost double digits. We're getting them at almost a pick 'em. They just have to win, and I think they will. So, but I'll say 3.5 bizarres for the week 12 teaser.
Can I give mine a number of bizarres then? If you're
sure
doing it,
yeah.
Well,
go for it.
I was at 5 bizarres with my 3-10 tease, but you made me nervous about Detroit with all your little statistics and trends and whatnot. So I'm lowering it down to a 4.75 bizarre 3-team tease. So
4.9.
4.75 bizarres for mine. So you can follow Fanasaurus at Fanasaurus, and you can see his Oliver Twitter avatar, which is never to be changed if I have anything to say about it. So
executive order.
Yeah, let's get it back to 500 this week. All right, buddy?
Will do.
All right, thanks, dude.
Thanks, bye.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count